Christ. I tell you, I don't know if you ever give that much thought. I have in the past thought many times, where would I be today if I had not gotten saved when I did? What would my life be like? I can tell you this, it wouldn't be anything like it is today. It is not anywhere I could be apart from God's will that I would be in any greater blessing than where it has been, and we praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. A wise pastor once said, "We must be different in order to make a difference." We must be different in order to make a difference. Being different involves change. You know that when God saves us, He doesn't save us to remain the way that we were when we got saved. When I got saved at age 13, I had been a good little boy. But you know, there were changes that needed to be made in my life. And some people look back and say, when I got saved, there were a lot of changes that needed to be done in my life. But you know, each one of us has to look at that, and we need to understand that there ought to be changes that are being made. God wants to implement new behaviors in us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. And then the next part of that is in, the verbs are in the present tense, all things are passing away and all things are becoming new. In other words, God begins that process of working on us, changing us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants to continue, and He will continue to that until we die or the rapture takes place and He perfects it to the very final stage of glorification. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And He wants to do that work in us. Setting aside sometimes besetting sins, as Hebrews 12:1 says, and even the weight that easily besets us, or that causes us to have our spiritual progress impeded, we are to lay aside those things so that we can run the race that He has set before us with patience, with endurance. So we are to do that, and there are to be these changes in our life. And so we ought to be able to, as a believer, look back and say, this time last year, I was here spiritually, but now I have gained in my walk with the Lord. I have progressed in my walk with the Lord. I'm not the same as I was last year. Thank the Lord. And God is still working on me personally. I've not arrived yet. And we all have to continue in that spiritual progress that we are to make. The 18th century preacher John Wesley wrote this. He said, "Give me 100 who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. Such alone will shake the gates of hell." What a statement. It's similar to what we find in the book of Acts, where it gives account of a group of men such as Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy and others, whom it was said in Acts 17:6, they have turned the world upside down. That was the impact of their character, of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, of their message of His death, burial, and resurrection that they preached. It turned the world upside down. That was meant by those that said it as a criticism. But it became really a badge there of a compliment in their case. These common people in the book of Acts rallied around an uncommon case, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they demonstrated uncommon characteristics, the changes that He made in their lives. And all of that was for the purpose of making an amazing difference in their world. God can do the same with each one of us. We certainly have an uncommon cause that we ought to rally around. And we have a Savior that can change the characteristics of our life, the character that we are, and cause us to be able to make an amazing difference in the lives of others. But we must heed the Word of God, what God says about us to do. And it's found right here in a simple statement by Jesus in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now there's packed full of information that he says in here. The first one that jumped out to me is, if any man will come after me. You know, if you're going to follow the Lord, you got to come after him. There were some would-be disciples in Luke chapter 9 that had a problem when Jesus said to follow him. They responded and said, well, Lord, let me first go and do this. Let me first go and do that. And so their problem was a me first problem. Let me first do this in my life. Let me first accomplish this in my life. Then I'll serve you, Lord. Then I'll work for you, Lord. Then I'll whatever. But if any man is going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him, we must come after him. He must come first in our lives. He must have first place. So he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Any of you out there like denying yourself? It's not an easy task. Not a one of us in here would say that our flesh loves to be denied. But you know, that's part of the life that we need. We need to live. It is something that has to go on in our life in many different directions. Let us deny ourselves. Let us take up his cross, our cross, and follow him. You know, the Jews of Jesus' day would have understood exactly what Jesus was talking about when he's talking about taking up a cross. Because anytime they saw someone carrying a Roman cross to be crucified, they knew that carrying the cross was associated with death. And so we must deny ourselves. We've got to die unto ourselves to be able to really follow the Lord Jesus Christ properly. Ourself has to get out of the way. And we need to be following him, putting him first completely, and letting him give our life direction. Let him give our life purpose in all that we're going to do. I thank the Lord that he is right there for us and never leaves us. He's always there to provide for us everything that is needful. But you know, there's more to it than just what we can get out of it. We are to be what he wants us to be. We must be different in order to make a difference. Cross bearing is always associated with death. Us to die to self and to deny ourselves. For nearly 400 years, the people of Weimarer, I guess it is, in Bavaria, in Germany there, have been putting on a passion play, it says, depicting events of the last week of the life of Christ. And they began the performances after the village was spared from the bubonic plague in the early 1600s. A long time that they had been doing this. The story is told of an American visitor sometime recently here was watching the drama unfold, sprang into action when the actor portraying Jesus fell while carrying the cross toward the crucifixion scene. The tourist was caught up in the emotion of the moment and wanted to lift the cross from the back of Jesus, after the play of Jesus. And expecting it to be a prop, he reached down with one hand but found that he could not move the heavy wooden cross. After the play was over, he met with the actor who told him, I found that I cannot look like Christ without carrying a real cross. You know, we carry a cross. Take up your cross and follow him. It is a weighty cross. It's heavy to bear. Not talking about the physical weight in pounds of what that cross is. Matter of fact, I read something here recently, and it was talking about the weight of the cross. And what it was sharing was, it was not about the weight in pounds of what Jesus had to bear with that cross going to Calvary. but it was the weight of our sin that it represented. When he died there on Calvary, all of my sin and yours was nailed to that cross with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took on himself our sin. And when he did and died there, it said there from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock that darkness covered the face of the earth. I believe it was during that time as he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That it was during that time that God the Father turned his back on his Son. For the only time. For the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death. Death is separation. And he was separated from the Father to pay the penalty of our sin that was placed upon him willingly. And through that, we have a great picture of the weight of the cross. And we are to take up our cross, what God has called us to do, the race that he has called us to run with patience, the things that he has called us to do in service, the way that we are to carry out the word of God to the people around us. He has called us to bear that cross as well, and it is a difficult cross to bear. The cross bearing is always associated with death. Us to die to ourselves as we deny ourselves. All Christians, I assume this is true of you as well as me, all of us would love to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is that not true? Amen. We would hope that would be the case. None of us are perfect, but we ought to be pressing toward that mark. We ought to be seeking to be what God wants us to be, and that's the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And we are to welcome that change as we submit to that process. But it is a costly matter. It's not easy to submit to that change because our flesh always raises its head and desires its way. So we must deny ourselves to be able to carry that cross, to follow the Lord as his disciple. Lay aside self, take up the cross, and walk in his steps. Letting Christ live through us is the key. And that's what Galatians 2:20 says. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. I bear my cross." He bore the cross for me. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me, but I'm letting Jesus Christ live through me," is what the Apostle Paul was saying. And that's a great example to each one of us. It's not about who we are, but it's about him and him being able to live through us. Do the people that you come in contact see Jesus Christ properly by the way that you behave and by the things that you say? Do they see Jesus Christ properly? It's similar to what we read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, which says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all," and he did die for all of us, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And so Jesus says that, "Hey, I died for you. And because you're bought with a price, your body and spirit are not yours anymore. They belong to me. I died for you so that you would live for me and seek to please me." And that's the way that we are to seek to live. It's not enough to say, "Lord, I thank you for my salvation," and go on and live your life the way that you want to today. But we're to be thankful for our salvation, and then we are to recognize the responsibility, the obligation that we have that comes along with that, to be the disciple that Jesus Christ has called us to be, to please him with those two choices that we have. Remember, two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. We need to be the ones that are seeking to please God with our life, the way that we behave and what we say. You remember the Jews, when they went into captivity, Babylonian captivity, there was a man, probably a teenager at the time, that stood out. What was his name? Daniel. Daniel was a young man that God allowed to be promoted in Babylon, whereas the king promoted him to be the head of all the presidents under him. Well, there was another Jew that was promoted in a similar way. Her name was Esther. The book of Esther teaches about this young lady. This young lady also was groomed and promoted and finally was caught the eye of the king, and she became the next queen in Babylon, in this captivity. And there was, in the storyline of what took place, she was raised by her uncle Mordecai, but there was a man there named Haman that did not like the Jews and certainly didn't like Mordecai, and was seeking to entrap the Jews with a law that he got the king to sign, and he didn't realize what implications it would have. And when Mordecai found out, he came to Esther and he said, "I need you as the queen to go to your husband, your king, and tell him and explain to him and ask him to reverse this so that they don't go out and kill all the Jews," which would include her. Now, for the queen or anybody else, if you didn't have permission to come to the king to speak, you could have your head cut off for doing that. She knew it was a dangerous proposition. But Mordecai explained that it's possible that you have been made the queen for such a time as this. You ever heard that statement before in Scripture? Came right out of Esther. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, in that context, Mordecai said, "It's possible that you have been put in this position for such a time as this." Well, we are in a position today. That position is in a world that's corrupt in many ways. We read about it a little bit in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and following. It says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." We talked about that, how God is working in us to change us, not only to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, but to will to follow him properly. Verse 15 says, "That for this purpose, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Now, how many of you live in a crooked and perverse nation? All you got to do is just turn on the news to hear about it. We hear about it locally here, of the corruption that goes on and the violence that takes place here just in Midlothian area. Behind the CBS was a murder and other things that have taken place. And we have so many things that is around us that is corruptible. But notice as he says that in this particular setting that we live, in this particular time, could we say, for this purpose, we have been given opportunity for such a time as this to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to let our lights shine in this world while we hold forth the word of God. We are to hold forth the word of life. And in doing that, both in how we behave ourselves in front of the lost And what we say to them and our witness to them is important, because we have been called to this time for this purpose. And we ought to be that light and salt for them. In order for us to make a difference in this world, as the people in the book of Acts turn the world upside down, we need to make a difference to those that we come in contact today. And the only way that we can do that is by living for the Lord Jesus Christ, taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and seeking to follow him the way that he would want us to live. Amen. That's the way it happens. So are you here today, and have you heard this message today for such a time as this? Are you willing to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, please. We're going to sing in just a moment a song that asks that question, or makes that statement, really. I'll live for Jesus day after day. I hope that that is your commitment this morning. As we have been here and we have heard God's word, I pray that you now evaluate in your life and ask, Lord, am I living for you the way that I should? Or is there something that you have brought to my attention this morning that I need to deal with? If so, will you right now surrender that unto the Lord and ask him to help you to live and do of his good pleasure? We ought to seek to do that. Father, I pray that that would be our heart desire. And that as we leave out of here today, that we would be encouraged both to be in the way that we behave ourselves and what we say. Lord, I pray all of these things would be pleasing to you, and that would carry forth the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing this hymn.